The second Aliyah of Parshas Yisro contains Yisro's advice to Moshe Rabbeinu and is far more far-reaching than we may appreciate. It begins by telling us, Vayehi Mimacharas, that Moshe started judging the people after this, and Rashi quotes the Mechilta, this is Macharas Yom HaKippurim, the day after Yom Kippur, but the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban says it can't mean exactly that, because this was after a Suuda that they had, and Moshe was serving the Suuda, and presumably at least he would have been involved in fasting in Yom Kippur at that point. The Baal Turim suggests it really should say after the Kapara. It's a reference to Yisro's transformation, and the fact that he is now looking to grow further. And the pasuk tells us that Moshe was sitting, Vayeshev Moshe Lishbot Es Ha'am. Rashi notes that Yisro thought that it was a disrespect to the Jews that they should all be standing around and lining up while Moshe was sitting. The Ibn Ezra notes that that's always the way when it comes to judgment, that Dayanim are supposed to sit while the Edom and others stand. The Sifsei Chachamim suggests that this is talking about the extensive line of those who are not yet involved in the actual process of judgment. And Simcha Zissel Breit and the Sam Derech notes that you see the special spiritual sensitivity of Yisro, who picked up on a lack of sensitivity to the people, that even Moshe, the Anav Mikol Adam, the most humble of men, didn't himself recognize. So Yisro asks what is happening, and Moshe explains that the people come to him for judgment, and the language here in Pasuk Tazayin, Ki Yelahem Davar, Ba Elai Vashafatati Bein Ish Vein Reyehu. The Mechilta notes the contrast on one hand of Ish, a man, on the other hand, Reyehu, his friend, and suggests that Ish is a reference to process of absolute din, of strict judgment, while Reyehu refers to that of Pshara. There the language is Reyehu because the litigants are more likely to leave as friends. Yisro tells him this is not a good situation, that Moshe is dealing with too much himself, and he's going to basically collapse, and therefore he gives him advice to delegate. But he also tells Moshe, very crucially, that he has the job to teach the people about the big values. And here in Pasuk Chaf, we find a very crucial pasuk, the language, V'yizharta eshem esachukim v'yesatoros, v'hodata lahem esaderech yelchuva v'yeshamasa asher yasun. Then essentially, he is supposed to tell them about the big ideas, and Chazal have an interpretation of most of the words in this pasuk. A slightly different language in the Gemara in Bava Kamma on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph and in Bava Metzia on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, at least as far as Rashi is concerned, regarding the language of Vahodato Lahem. There, the Gemara interprets, this is a reference to Beis Chayehem. So according to Rashi in Bava Kamma, that refers to the study of Torah, and according to his commentary in Bava Metzia, this refers to learning the skills needed to make a living. So he is supposed to tell them, Es haderech yelchuva. Here Chazal understand every part of this to refer to something else. The derech is the path of chesed. As we understand, v'halachta bedrachav is a reference to chesed as a whole in many places in the Torah, as Chazal understand. Rav Hirsch comments that the understanding here specifically is that we want to highlight that the derech, that the path that one goes on to make a living and to take care of himself, has to also include benevolent care for the well-being of others, and that this is really the real purpose for our working for ourselves, that everyone is living not only for himself, but for others, and should be so overflowing with love that they perform acts of love even at the risk of their own existence. He adds that part because Chazal note that included in this pasuk as well are specific acts of chesed, which one would have thought maybe was a part of the broader idea, yelchu referring to bikur cholam, and ba referring to kvura. The Gemara explains the need for extra words for those chesedim specifically, that yelchu ba, Bikur Cholam, and Kvura get special references because Bikur Cholam applies even to somebody who is a Ben Gilo, the language of the Gemara in Nedarim, than a person who is of that category. However, understand that is a debate among the Rishonim, but there's a certain type of visitor who is able apparently to absorb some aspect of the illness of the patient, and apparently there is some degree of risk, this Gemara seems to be suggesting, and nonetheless, it's still necessary to perform this mitzvah, and Ba tells us that Kvura should apply, even if this is otherwise beneath the cover of the individual. So Rav Hirsch notes that the overflowing of love that a person is supposed to have while he goes about his daily activities for the purpose of helping others should be even to the extent that he is willing to compromise his dignity and to put himself at some degree of risk in order to do so. This notion of a halachta bedrachav as a mandate of chesed in imitating God and following his ways of kindness appears to us in many places. There are mitzvos in Sefer Dvarim, the Chafetz Chaim counts 8 times, where we're told directly as a commandment, v'halachta bedrachav. We were told in last week's parsha, zekeli v'anvehu, that the Jews took upon themselves to be like God, and we understand that to refer to chesed as well. And here we have Yisro giving this advice. So in the Sefer Arach Meisharim of Rav Moshe Trayesh, which is a Shulchan Arach Lemidos, as is subtitled, he explains that each one refers to a specific commandment. At the Amsuf, the Jews devoted themselves as an expression of free will to imitate the God who redeemed them from slavery and passed that on to their descendants. In this context, we have it as a statement from Yisro, who's not coming as a Navi or as a Shliach of God, but rather this is coming from his instinctive ethical morality, and Moshe accepting that message means that he agrees with that instinct and that sensitivity. Rav Yashiv in his Ha'aris to Bav Metzia writes that Moshe's acceptance of Yisro's advice converted it into a part of the Torah itself. Some of the Rishonim seem to understand that Yisro's comments are actually an expression of the mitzvah of Halachta Bedrachav, not really a separate source. So the Smak, for example, the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan in Mem Zayin, lists the mitzvah of Chesed and quotes both Psukim as the source. Then, later on in Sefer Dvarim, we will have it as an explicit mitzvah. So the idea that we understand Bikur Cholim to be connected to Yelchuba, there are those who see there to be a specific significance here, that actually traveling, going somewhere, is an integral part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So therefore, some of the poskim who considered the question of whether Bikur Cholim is fulfilled remotely through a telephone call or perhaps other technology point to this idea as indicating that one really needs to go in person. That was the attitude of Rav Yonason Steif and his Chuvis, and of Yoshev is quoted in the Avnei Choshen to that effect. And some point to the Maharsha, who understands that the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is performed simply by being there, and therefore the emphasis on Yelchu. There were some, such as the Chuvis Shela Yitzchak, who thought that a phone call may actually do more harm than good, because the person may be pressured to come to a phone where he wouldn't necessarily feel the same kind of pressure if he's passively visited at home. Other poskim took a different attitude. Some thought there was a partial fulfillment of Bikur Cholim. Some thought there was a complete fulfillment of Bikur Cholim. But there is some emphasis on this language to suggest that physical appearance is a crucial part of the mitzvah. Some thought, perhaps you could find the opposite emphasized here as well. The Ksav Sofer quotes that he had a discussion with Baron Rothschild, who told him that the emphasis of Yelchu Ba is to teach that also you have to know when to leave, that people who overstay are also not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. The Pasuk is also quoted and understood in a crucial way by the Gemara there. V'yes ha-masa asher ya'asun, the masa is understood to refer to din, and asher ya'asun refers to the obligation of lifnim mishuras ha-din. Rav Nosson Gestetner and his Laharis Nosson suggests that the implication of the whole pasuk here is that because Moshe is being advised how to reduce the burden, if you want to know how to avoid fights among people, so they should know the dinim, and they should also go lifnim mishuras ha-din, they should be ready to go beyond the law when's necessary in order to make peace. And the idea of Beis Chayehem, the notion of when they're making a living, is invoked to teach that the household should be told about these principles, to be supportive of this, and to engage in chesed. So the idea that Lefnim Mishur Sadin is derived from Ya'asun, So that's an interesting drush in of itself, and the Mefarshim discuss how that is derived. The Netziv suggests that the extra nun here is a minimizing force to indicate that that's what's done sometimes, that the din always has to be followed, but sometimes there is a need to go lifnim b'shuras hadin. The Torah Tamima essentially has the opposite point, saying the extra letter means that one sometimes has to go beyond, and that's what lifnim b'shuras hadin indicates. In the Sefer Ksava HaKabbalah, he understands that a nun creates a descriptive term out of a verb, just as somebody who learns is lomed, but somebody who's all about learning is a lamdin. So too, somebody who is understood by the phrase ya'asun is somebody who not only follows the din, but represents the essence of the din. And the only way to do that is to go above and beyond and to observe the lifnim meshuras hadin as well when the conditions call for it. As lifnim meshuras hadin indeed requires the individual to internalize the values of the din to such an extent that he understands when it's necessary to go above and beyond to fulfill the spirit of the law as well. And in fact, some understand that the mitzvah of lifnim meshuras hadin is a requirement to learn the halachos in their reasoning as well, so one knows when it's necessary to go lifnim meshuras hadin. This idea of the advice now to appoint judges, as the next pasuk tells us, Vi'ata Sechaza, Rav Meir Shapiro noted the fact that Rashi identifies this whole parsha with this phrase, understanding that the earlier psukim just described the problem, and anyone can point out a problem, but to point out a solution, that's where you get real credit for, and that's why Yisro is associated with a parsha that is identified with these words. So the people who are supposed to be appointed are Anshe Chayil, Yirei Elukim, Anshe Emes, Sonei Vatza, so people who are fearing of God and are truthful and who hate graft, who hate bribery. So the language here seems to include many different phrases. The idea of Yirei Elukim and Anshe Emes, O Moshe, quotes from the Sefer Shiraz David, that this is to reflect the fact that one should lead to the other, that people who fear God will be people of truth. However, the Netziv says actually the opposite, that it is possible theoretically to have one without the other, and therefore the Pasuk has to identify both. Refers to people who hate vatsa, people who hate the idea of being bribed. So one could have thought that it might be enough just to say that they don't take bribes. So here the Aznayim Latarah suggests that this is to show that it's not enough merely to observe the halacha in this case. As we sometimes find, Chazal say that when it comes to non-kosher food, it's enough to say that I'm going to observe this because it's God's will, not necessarily to relate to it emotionally, intellectually. But here, apparently, we need to go further. The Rambam understands in general that's true when it comes to Mishpatim. Maybe there's a special emphasis here as far as bribery. The Aznayim Latarah understands that if one shows any appreciation at all for such offers, so then people will talk about it and will make the offer, and the offer itself, even if it's not accepted, will disqualify the judge, because that will be shochad varim, that will be a bribery just with attitude and with words, and that's itself a problem. Further, when it comes to money, as he notes, we have a prohibition of lo sisave, that one is not supposed to even desire money that's not coming to him, and therefore perhaps that's also meant to be included in the language here. And we find also a drasha on the words Vishaftu es ha'am b'chal eis, that they should judge them at all times. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Lama Dalet Amid Beis understands here that even though din is not supposed to be at night, but the Gemar din can be at night, and the Sma in his commentary to Choshen Mishpat was Mechadesh, that this would mean even a candle lighting, even artificial light, could be enough to allow for the din. There is much more that is derived from here, but there's a very strong message overall in the fact that Yisro's values are accepted by Moshe, and his instinct and his sensitivity is displayed here, and many big themes are applied from all of these messages included in Yisro's advice.